Am I doing this right? Is this how this is done?
Hello, I think so.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Star Wars Report. I have no idea what number. I have no idea what number this is of the episodes, and I have no idea what to do with my hands.
They're supposed to be in the air right now, like do 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 do.
Am I supposed to put the music back up?
I don't know.
Everybody dance a little more. Anyhow, so you guys are probably wondering, who is this guy with the southern accent talking to me, and where is Riley Blanton?
He's not here.
Nope. No, we have co-opted the show. Who is we, you might ask? Well, I'm not going to tell you. We're just going to let you sit here and listen to us and never know. Actually, no, we won't do that. My name is Steve Glosson. So glad to be along with you. You probably don't know me, but if you did, you'd know me from Geek Out Loud, a podcast you can find at geekoutpodcast.com, along with a slew of other podcasts we call the Golaverse. And with me on this episode of Star Wars Report and the next episode of Star Wars Report, so you can go ahead and decide not to download that one as well if it were just me, but you want to stick around because of the co-host here, the true super fan. She is amazing. She's awesome. She is the heart and soul of our show, Disney Vault Talk. You know her from Star Wars Bookworms. You know her from all over the interwebs of fandom. The lovely, the talented, the powerful, Teresa Delgado. Hello, Teresa.
Hey, Steve. How's it going?
How it's going?
How it's going?
I'm Steve.
And I'm Teresa. How is it going?
How is it going today? How is it going?
Pretty good.
Here's the thing. And the thing is this, everyone who doesn't listen to anything that we do, but you do listen to the Star Wars Report, if you go back into the Star Wars Report archives to episode number 39, what you'll actually hear is the first time that Teresa and I ever interacted in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I was aware of Teresa. I was aware of her blog. I was aware of the podcast she was doing. I don't know that Teresa was aware of me.
No, I was. I kind of was like, woo, Steve Glosson, I want to be his friend. Because I just thought you were really cool, and I liked Geek Out Loud. And I remember listening to an episode of what used to be, well, Rebel Force Radio, before it was Rebel Force Radio.
Right.
When you said that you were leaving, and I was sad.
Well, and 3 years later, we are friends.
Yay, friendship!
Yeah, hooray! And and we have a podcast together as the aforementioned Disney Vault Talk, where we are walking through the films of the Walt Disney Company and discussing them. We just finished up our Black Cauldron episode. It's the latest episode. Coming up next will be The Great Mouse Detective.
And let me tell you, that's going to be a fun little doozy.
You better believe it. It's going to definitely be a palate cleanser.
For real?
From the old Black Cauldron. But this isn't a Disney show. This is a Star Wars show. Teresa and I were listening before we went live to just a little bit of our first time. And I thought it would be fun to riff on ourselves a little bit as we get into the show. Now, we were discussing the fourth season of The Clone Wars, apparently, on this particular episode. And we'll start right here.
It's greatest moments, it's slowest moments.
This is Riley.
It's coolest moments. It's Darth Mauliest moments. And joining us for that kind of discussion, beginning
listen
this round
to
table
how Teresa
Delgado from Fangirl Next
listen.
Door.
Hey guys, how's it going?
That's the 1:49 mark, ladies and gentlemen. I want that as my ringtone. Hey guys, how it's going? But just wait. Here's what's funny is Steve trying to be behaved yet still funny as he is brought in.
It's going very well. Really enjoying the fine spring weather here in, I was about to say South Georgia, and then I realized I can't take that title because...
Which, by the way, it's funny that Riley would say South Georgia when they're up in North Georgia.
As there's a gentleman who embodies South Georgia...
Because he's so fat.
In the best of ways. And that's... Steve Glosson from Geek Out Loud. Welcome to the show, sir.
I'm Steve.
Hey. Well, it's transitional.
Guys, thanks so much for having me. I'm looking forward to our discussion.
I am too.
Okay, okay. I'm looking forward to our discussion.
Yes.
Hmm. That's very formal of you.
It is. I was going to say, I'm being very formal. I'm very much...
very professional.
Yes, trying to be very professional. And so, here's the thing. I don't know what I was doing. I don't know if I was trying to be funny and formal. I don't know what my gimmick was right there. I honestly have no idea. And I would like to right now apologize to Riley, Bethany, and even Mark Herleman for my behavior.
Kind of playing fast and loose.
Go ahead.
Oh, and so also, you had a much better intro to yourself than I did. And I was like, why didn't I say I'm Teresa or something funny?
Well, at the time, my co-host Derek and I were doing Geek Out Loud together. And so whenever we come on, I'd be like, welcome to Geek Out Loud. I'm Steve. And he'd say, I'm Derek. And it would just be a whole thing. And I guess that's what I was doing.
Loose here and just kind of go in chronological order.
We're playing fast and loose, everybody.
The season in general, kind of recap.
Let's move forward a little bit.
Just seemed kind of
there's Steve talking.
Drawn out and a little bit long.
Yeah.
No, I would totally agree with you on that, actually, because I like the three-parters.
Yeah, Teresa.
But, you know, for instance, with Krell and then even in the Bounty Hunter stuff, and it just got to be so long, you sort of lost your interest in it. And, you know, just to go back to just a thought, it's, you know, for me, it is a cartoon show and it is Star Wars. But if you think about the fact that it is a cartoon show and it is, you know, still geared towards a younger audience and being a teacher,
right,
they're only going to hang on for so long. Mm-hmm. So if you go on with
I mean, that's some deep stuff right there,
what?
My friend. They're only going to hang on for so long.
They're only going to hang on for so long.
Okay, you want to talk about sounding formal, and I said this off air. I just remember thinking, she is super serious about this stuff. Because I feel like I threw in jokes here and there and never got a laugh. Maybe it's that I'm not funny or was not funny at the time. Who says I'm funny now? But I just remember thinking, wow, ice cold penguin. I get it.
All right, let's hang on. No. Let's see. This came out when I need
this
a
was,
date.
This was March of 2012.
Okay. I was still kind of trying to make my way in the podcasting world.
Of course.
At this point.
Sure.
Okay, so my first appearance on the Star Wars Report was episode 31. Mm-hmm. This is episode 39.
Yes.
My first appearance on the Star Wars Report was like one of my first podcast appearances ever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, within 9 weeks, 8 weeks, so 2 months, you know, I've just been doing like some little podcast stuff here or there. So I'm trying to sound smart.
Yes. Well, and not only that, but you were described to me by the great Bethany Blanton as a nice and positive Star Wars fan.
Oh.
In the email, she was saying, we'd love to have you on. Come on the show. It would probably be me, Riley, Mark, and Teresa Delgado. Open parentheses, a nice and positive Star Wars fan. Close parentheses. And I won't mention that there is a huge comma splice within that parenthesis because I don't want to embarrass Bethany in her improper use of a comma. So let me inch forward here.
Baby Princess Leia. Now, for those of our new listeners,
that's Bethany. I don't know this.
I just remember
so much. Like we barely touched on the Mandalorian arc with the return of Lux and. In the water episodes there at the beginning of the season.
The water.
Yeah.
The water episode. We barely touched on. Guys, if I could just speak on how much we haven't talked about right now. We've barely touched on the Mandalorian arc and the return of the Lux and the water episode.
And you said it like that. You're
water.
Like, the water.
Water. How it's going. I don't know. Just enjoying some water.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about this season. I am interested in this. What was your favorite arc? I'll start with you, Mark.
Oh, it's the Krell, hands down Krell.
you see him at first as that heroic
one, but I absolutely think
into our hour, and I want to.
I'm sorry,
sometimes,
I'm scrubbing through
after
this
the break. After, I say after the break, like we're a radio show.
Wait, okay, I did want to say something else. Oh. We were speaking of death. I just had this little feeling that
on the interwebs, Teresa and Steve will be talking to you guys soon.
All right, thanks a lot. Teresa,
thanks
good to meet
again,
you.
Guys.
It was nice to meet you too, Steve.
All right, we'll see you guys.
Talk to you soon.
Well, that was sweet.
It was nice to meet you too, Steve.
It was nice to meet you too. I was trying to find, because listen, I felt like in that episode that I had power talked. I do remember this clearly. I felt like in that episode that I had power talked everybody, as I'm wont to do when I'm a guest on a show, and including you. And I was like, I don't know this person. This person doesn't know me. I should really try to include this person in the conversation. So I would defer several times. I remember deferring to you and saying, what do you think, Teresa? And then there was one point where we were talking about something. I'm like, well, Teresa, now who's your favorite Star Wars character? And you're like, Darth Maul. Just Darth Maul. Boom. Or maybe you said Darth Maul's my favorite character. And I was like, really, Darth Maul? That's surprising. And I was just kind of shocked and taken aback. And because you had maintained this level of uber professionalism. And I was like, I would have never known in a thousand million years that you were the funnest, coolest, partiest person in the world.
Oh, thanks. I am really fun at parties.
Contrary to what some may say. So we say all this to say this, folks. If you're listening to the Star Wars Report and this is the first time you've ever heard Teresa and I, hey, we go back a long time with these people, so don't act like we're newbies here. We know how to do the Star Wars Report.
We ain't noobs,
No, we are not noobs, so we know how to do this. With that being said, Teresa, how do we do this?
I'm not really sure. I think we're supposed to do Star Wars news and stuff.
Star Wars news and stuff. Well, in the last episode, you guys heard the San Diego Comic-Con Lucasfilm panel discussion. The guys actually recorded live as the panel was going down. They were watching live tweets and keeping up with all the news that way. And then immediately after that panel, the great behind-the-scenes footage dropped. Teresa, we didn't get to hear from you on that. What did you think of that whole package that they showed at the Comic-Con?
I thought it was really cool. I've actually only watched it on my phone, so I need to watch it on my computer. Because I completely missed Leia in her outfit, the picture that we've seen.
Really?
Because it was on my phone.
Yeah.
And so it was small.
I was like, well, there's a tiny person.
That's the person. I just didn't have the detail. I was also half awake.
Yeah.
I had just woken up and I was like, oh, let's see what this is, you know.
Well, have you seen, now did you see the new, he got dubbed on the Geek Out Loud, Jar Jar Puffin stuff.
I don't understand where that's coming from.
Okay.
Maybe I need to rewatch this thing.
I'm going to try to find it here very quickly without playing the whole thing and no audio at all. I'll try to vamp through it. But basically, at one point, we see our good friend. I'm just going to call him our good friend because I think he's everybody's good friend, Warwick Davis. And he's just standing there.
He's my best friend.
It's a quick shot. It's a quick shot of him standing next to another character who looks like Oscar the Grouch's head grew too big for his trash can, and he turned his trash can into a suit, and he's just kind of poking out of it. And it doesn't look like anything we've ever seen in Star Wars. To me, it's as jarring for me as Ben Quadraneros is for some.
Here's the thing. I didn't think Warwick was in The Force Awakens.
Yeah,
is he just in this video because he's just in this video?
No, he's in the movie.
I didn't think he was in it.
Yeah,
they haven't
is.
Announced that he was in it.
He did. He put out a video of himself to announce it.
He did?
Yeah, he put out a video where he was waiting by the phone for the phone call. And he kept, it was really funny.
I thought
funny.
It was just a joke.
No.
Mm-mm. Oh. You know, he's so funny and he does all that kind of satirical humor and stuff. I just thought it was supposed to be a joke.
I'm going to send you really quickly.
I'm watching it right now.
Okay,
I'm at like 45 seconds.
Okay, well, this is at the 3 minute, 3 second mark.
Okay.
Where's the
Leia part? I gotta find that.
It's just before the Warwick Davis part.
3 minutes. I'll start here.
In fact, it's kind of there's Leia wrapped around Warwick Davis. It's a she's at right at the 3 minute mark. In fact, a little bit before 2:58, 2:59.
I should be getting there shortly.
Shortly, which I mean, let's be honest, that's how you do everything.
True.
Tiny stature.
Tiny and awesome.
That's right.
I don't know what else to say.
And knows how to party.
Oh, look, there it is. See, aw, how did I miss that? Yeah. I have no idea. Oh, that weird little, ooh.
Yeah, look at that. Look at that thing.
Look at the little puffy man.
It's like a Chia Pet on a Darth Vader costume, on a bad Darth Vader costume.
Seriously?
On a Darth Revan costume.
Hey, no.
I'm just saying, Darth Revan doesn't have all the chess pieces.
You know what that looks like?
It looks like something from the old H&R Puffin Stuff show. Looks like something the old, H&R, not H&R Puffin Stuff, who did that stuff? Anyhow, Sid and Marty Croft. Looks like a Croft character. What do you think it looks like?
I thought it looked like, there's some toy that I'm thinking of.
A Furby?
Like a fluffy little furry toy.
Like a Furby?
Yeah, it does look like goggles.
Yeah, it looks like a Furby with goggles and a gas mask over his little beak. It could also be, you know, what a 100-year-old Ewok looks like. Who knows?
No, and no, I don't look like
it.
That.
They just keep growing. Ewoks, they don't, like that. They don't grow in height. They just keep growing out.
They don't get haircuts.
It's weird. It's just a weird looking thing. But anyhow, we talked about all that on the last episode. I believe they actually recorded the stuff that was done as well on Geek Out Loud because they forced themselves onto Geek Out Loud as I was doing a reaction show because I got so excited about it, I had to immediately get on and podcast. So
I do that. I force myself on Geek Out Loud sometimes.
You do, but not while you're doing a whole other show. It's not like you're like, hey, we're doing Star Wars Bookworms. We're going to cross over immediately with Geek Out Loud.
That would be a cool crossover.
I mean, they had people spamming the chat. It was crazy. Crazy stuff. And by the way, sorry this wasn't recorded live. We're trying to get stuff done so that they can have content to get out. So sorry to you faithful Star Wars Report listeners that this was not recorded live. So that went down, and you've not really had a chance to fully take it in and really just absorb everything about it. But I will say this. It's very Rey-heavy. Lot of cool stuff going on with who I assume will be our main character, Rey.
Oh, that would be cool.
Daisy Ridley. She's front and center. She and Finn, I believe, are going to be kind of the heroes driving this train.
Well, you know, the cool thing that I noticed about that panel and then about this whole thing, you've got a trio of new heroes, which would be the amazingly sexy Oscar Isaac. which I'm like, agreed. Yeah, dude.
Agreed.
And then John Boyega and Daisy Ridley. So Rey, Finn, and Poe, which is funny. Poe. So for people who don't know, the fangirls out there address him as Poe. That's how we say it. It's like, and Poe. Doesn't sound as cool unless you have his last name. You know, he doesn't sound as, like, gritty and awesome.
Right. Poe Dameron.
Or
you can even use his name now as a cuss word. Poe Dameron.
But then you've got this trio of, like, evildoers, which I think is cool. Two boys and a girl, similar to the Hero Trilogy.
How it's going?
How's it going?
Water.
Look, we've got words for this show now. That's awesome.
Hero Trio.
It's like Hero Trio.
Hero Trio. What does that word mean?
I don't know.
Okay. Good deal.
So then you've got the three bad guys, which is cool that you finally got to see them all together. And let me just say, Adam Driver is hilarious to me.
Because
they ask him things, he's like, no.
Nice. Have you seen, there's a movie with he and Tina Fey and, what's the guy's name? Jason Bateman and others. It's called, I can't remember what it's called. I watched it the other day and really, really good. Let me IMDb that for you. anyhow, I didn't realize Adam Driver was in this thing. I'd not really seen him in anything. I never watched the show Girls that he was on.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in anything either, unless I've seen this movie.
And I watched this, and I was just like, I like this guy. He's really tall. Super tall. It's called This Is Where I Leave You.
I have not seen this.
It's a really heart-wrenching movie.
Is it on Netflix?
I can't remember if I saw it on Netflix or if I saw it on the HBO Now. But This Is Where I Leave You. It's a heart-wrenching movie about a family whose father dies. They get word their father dies, and they're not really estranged from each other, you know, but they're all kind of living their own separate lives. And his last request is they come and do, they're a Jewish family, and they come and do, I forget what it's called, but they have to sit with each other. Shiva, thank you. They have to come do Shiva. And so they basically have to sit together for 7 days.
Yep.
And so they're coming home, you know, they're coming back to their lives. And so all the stuff, it's not available. No, so I watched it on the net, on the HBO stuff. Mm. And so all this stuff comes out, you know, in their lives and in their old lives. And Jason Bateman was trying to get away from his old life, all this stuff. And it's just a great movie. But he plays like the son, the member of the family who could just never get it together. Adam Driver does. And fantastic. Fantastic.
Oh, well, that's good. That's encouraging. So. He was just really funny to me. And then Domhnall Gleeson, which I'm really excited about. He sounded really funny. And then he also leaked the name of the Imperial base, which I thought was really cool.
Starkiller base, yeah. Yeah.
And then Gwendolyn Christie. And I love Gwendolyn Christie's comment about she's really excited to play a character that's not based on the way she looks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah. But then you've got, you know, the Legacy Trio.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like just sort of neat that there's like a bad guy trio, a hero trio,
mm-hmm.
and a Legacy Trio. It's just kind of a cool thing.
You got your hero trio, your bad trio, and your Lego trio. Yeah. And Harrison Ford on that panel, he got a little emotional talking about what Star Wars meant to him and what it meant to his career.
Which I thought was really cool, gosh. Because he's kind of tried to stay clear of it for so long. And now it just seemed really like he really cared. And he did make a couple of comments, though, that, you know, it was the right director and the story was written the right way and everything. And it almost made it sound like he wouldn't have come back if it hadn't been for certain things.
No, he wouldn't. I mean, I think that Lucas had him talked into coming back. I really do. I think that in the history of this whole situation that went down, to hear George Lucas talk, I think they were very close to signing everything with everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think when Abrams came in, when the Disney buyout went down and everything changed a little bit, I think that that probably caused Harrison to step back from the situation until he found out what they were doing. And so, yeah. But, I mean, he's been very clear over the years that it's got to be the right thing with the Indiana Jones situation. You know, he kept saying it's got to be, we've all three got to agree on it, the three being he and Spielberg and Lucas. And so to have him now say that and confirm that, to me, it's just really cool. I just think it's cool that he seems to be coming around to the idea of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he needs to. He needs to. But I don't think he was ever bitter or angry about Star Wars. I don't think he ever hated it. I think he just saw it as something that was in his rearview mirror. And you don't live life looking in the past. There's a great moment in a piece of footage that I've only seen one time in my life. Well, I say seen one time. I've seen it multiple times. Because it was a little package about the impact of Star Wars that CBS, I believe it was CBS, that was airing Star Wars on television for the first time. We recorded it back in the day when I was just a wee tot. And beforehand, they did a package about, Mark Hamill was hosting, they did a package about the impact of Star Wars on pop culture and everything. And there was a quick little scene where they're interviewing Harrison Ford. He's out on a boat and he says, how much fun was it filming Star Wars? And he just holds his hands up kind of far apart. He's like, it was this much fun. You know, and kind of laughs. And so I feel like he's always had a fondness for Lucas. He's always had a fondness for what these films did for his career. But I think it was just a matter of, well, there's no sense in looking backwards. You know, we just move forwards now. And so when people would ask him about Star Wars, I don't know that he ever thought it was anything real. So there was no sense in talking about it. He just strikes me as that kind of guy.
Yeah, and I think it was definitely an important thing to him, but I also could see someone wanting to be able to move forward, mm-hmm. you know, and that's fair. But he did make a really good point that the new people are done for. Like, now that they're in Star Wars, their life as they know it will never be
right.
the same.
Right. And, you know, we've already seen that with the Rebels cast.
I know.
The voice cast of Rebels. You know, their lives have changed. And you see that especially with the newbies like the Taylor Gray, just the surprise that, wow, people are really into the Star Wars thing. Mm-hmm. And the other voice actors who've been voice actors for a while, you know, it's like suddenly where they used to be, they weren't anonymous, but they weren't like, boom, you're a part of something amazing. They've always been a part of something amazing, but now it's Star Wars, and that just kind of ramps up their exposure in a big, bad way, you know?
No, I know. As soon as you get Star Wars on your resume, it's like, you know...
And it's because the fans put you out there.
The fans rally around the people that are in their movies. Like, the Star Wars community is one of the warmest... You know what? I don't know if I can say that anymore.
I was going to say, come on now. Wait a second. Hold on.
I don't know if I can say that anymore.
Hold on.
But you know what? I can. Because we're going to get to this. We're going to talk about this later.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the people that have been interacting with me, not real Star Wars fans. So they don't count. They're not in the Star Wars
community.
All right.
So you're pulling a Kyle Newman, and you are calling people on their fandom.
Well, you know, I mean... Because the people that we know, and the majority of the people that I've dealt with in Star Wars fandom have been some of the warmest, most accepting, kindest people.
Right.
And they embrace the people that are in their movies because they appreciate the fact that they took time out of their life and their career to do this for us. You know, and we recognize that. So, you know, I think, yeah, they are screwed.
Well, there you go.
They get to be Star Wars people for life.
Yeah. I don't know if they're screwed. They're just they're definitely out there now. And people are going to be jumping on that train,
Daisy Ridley was so funny. Because they asked her a question about compared to stuff she's done before. And she goes, well, I haven't really done anything before.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris Hardwick got to host that panel. Or moderate that panel, and you know Hardwick is—he's worked hard to get where he's at, and he is the fanboy that all the other fanboys are jealous of to this day. And I will say I'm jealous of said fanboy Chris Hardwick, but he's worked hard to get where he's at, and people trust him to do those kind of events, and so he did a good job with that panel. But you know what they've talked about on the Star Wars Report. You guys are probably tired of us talking about it. Let's get into some Star Wars news. Big soundbite. All right. Teresa, you are smack dab in the eye of the Star Wars storm right now with this release of the GQ magazine with Amy Schumer on the cover. And for whatever reason, they chose to have Amy Schumer on the cover with a C-3PO and his fingers in her mouth. And then there are other pictures within the magazine and in the photo spread that she did that are... equally and more racy than that cover photo.
Yeah. Racy is a good word.
And you chose to say something about it on the Twitter. Why don't you explain to us your experience really quickly on the Twitter with this situation?
Well, maybe we should read my tweet. And it would probably be cooler... if you read it.
Okay.
And not me.
Well, first of all, congratulations for making Variety.com, Teresa.
Yeah, you know, this isn't the only... I'm on BBC, too.
I hear you. You're all over the place. This was tweeted by @IceColdPenguin, Teresa Delgado, who says, and I quote, I can't believe @Disney and @Star Wars are allowing @GQ Magazine to do this distasteful... #StarWars spread. Shame on all of you. Ooh, you gave him the shame on all of you. Now, this was quoted in, like I say, in an article that I'm reading from Variety.com. It's just credited to the Variety staff right now as the writers. Of course, Amy Schumer right now in a big role. Trainwreck, it has been super well received by critics and audiences alike. Her movie with Bill Hader. And she is the hot comedian right now. She is it right now. Mm-hmm. Amy Schumer is not safe for children. She's not safe for work. She's very much in the veins of a Sarah Silverman? Water. Sarah Silverman type comedy act. Her show Inside Amy Schumer is on Comedy Central, and it is very, very kind of vulgar, if you will. If that offends you, I would say do not watch it. But this is a magazine cover. It was put out. Of course, Star Wars is attached to it. Everyone's going to see it. Everyone's going to pay attention because, dang, Star Wars is in there. So obviously, GQ riding the Star Wars wave, riding the Amy Schumer wave, and this is what they come up with. Teresa, you say it is, all caps, mind you, distasteful.
Yes.
How'd that work out for you?
Well, okay. So there are a few reasons that I tweeted what I tweeted. Number one, I interact with the Star Wars account and some of the people over at Lucasfilm, and I had noticed that they hadn't said anything yet right. about this article. And it occurred to me that there would be a lot of people out there that would think that Lucasfilm and Disney had given their permission to use their characters in this way. Because a lot of people just assume if you see Star Wars on something, then it's licensed or, you know, allowed to be used. And that's not always the case. Sometimes magazines in this instance, GQ, and other places use stuff without asking and then apologize later because they want the publicity, mm-hmm. you know. So I figured that Star Wars and Disney had not actually, or Lucasfilm, I guess, and Disney had not given their permission to do this. But I knew there would be a lot of people out there that had kids, you know, and parents and young and like teenagers and stuff that would think that they had. And I was concerned about that because the integrity of Star Wars is very important to me. And I didn't want there to be anything that could be jeopardizing that integrity. And I felt that the Lucasfilm camp needed to say something. So I thought, well, maybe they know my Twitter name well enough that if they see a tweet from me that they'll say something. So I decided to do this. And I worded it very carefully. It tagged all the three parties. And I used distasteful in all caps because I feel like a lot of those images are in poor taste. But I did it in all caps so that they would realize that, you know, this is really not good. You know, and I'm upset.
I was putting my foot down.
Putting the foot down. And
as a teacher, you have to do that sometimes, by the way.
I do. And then the shame on all of you was just because if they did allow it, then really, shame on these companies for allowing their characters to be used that way. Especially when they took away the hyperspace hoopla from Walt Disney World, which was nowhere near as raunchy as this.
Oh, no, it wasn't raunchy at all. They're just trying to... The thing is I've heard from different sources that Disney and Lucasfilm are getting very serious about the protection of these characters.
Exactly, which is what I've heard too. And I've heard from, you know, I know people that work for Walt Disney World and stuff, so I've heard that. And so it would surprise me that they would allow something like this but not allow the hyperspace hoopla. So if they did, that's where the shame on all of you came from.
Well, I've actually heard that they're even going further than just doing away with the hyperspace hoopla. I've heard that by next year, we won't be seeing like Darth Goofy, Jedi Mickey, Stormtrooper Donald, those type of things anymore in the parks.
That makes me a little sad.
It does me too, because I appreciated the mashup. I appreciated what was going on. But this is an effort on the part of Disney and Lucasfilm to really, truly protect the image of these characters. So when this is done, I agree with you. It it did make me scratch my head when I saw the pictures, because I was thinking, this doesn't line up with what I've been told. This doesn't line up with what I thought would be going on. And your response, you got a response from at Star Wars.
I did. But really quick, I want to say, you know, Steve, you and I, we exist sort of in that media realm. So we kind of have a little bit more information sometimes. I mean, not anything that, you know, I don't know the plot of The Force Awakens or anything.
Right.
But, you know, we kind of sort of work in this world a little bit different than just a casual fan or a fan who just listens to, you know, maybe our podcast and watches the movies and things like that. So we kind of look at it a little bit different.
Right.
So when I saw these pictures, it's important to note that when I saw these pictures, my first reaction was just like, okay, that's just no thanks. Kind of weird. It wasn't all like, oh, I'm so offended. It's so gross. You know, it wasn't that. You know, I'm not that girl. I'm not that girl at all. Anybody who knows me knows that I can, you know, poke fun at the best of things, you know, or really gross things and stuff, and that I can go down that path if I wanted to, and that, you know, I have at times. It's not like I'm some kind of, let's say, for lack of a better word, a prude. I'm not. You know, it's just that I protect Star Wars. And so I felt like somebody needed to say it.
Right. Well, yeah, and no one else was. I mean, obviously no one else was. You were quoted, like I said, in Variety, on the BBC. Other places picked up your tweet. And it's right. You're not a prude. You're not someone who's like, no, we can't have fun with these characters. We can't. You just, again, knowing what we know about the way that Disney and Lucasfilm are treating these characters, it causes us to kind of, our eyebrows to raise a little bit and say, well, this seems like a mixed message. Not only that, I do want to say this, that in GQ doing something like this, without, of course, Star Wars tweeted back to you, let's not bury the lead, we didn't approve this at all, and we don't condone it. They quoted your tweet, but not the Star Wars tweet, by the way.
Here on this particular, I can find it for you.
I've got it, I think, right here somewheres, where it says, Lucasfilm and Disney do not approve, participate in, or condone the inappropriate use of our characters in this manner. That comes from the at Star Wars Twitter. So Star Wars has denied, Lucasfilm has denied any involvement in this whatsoever. Now, here's what concerns me. Is that if outlets like GQ and other outlets like this use these characters in a way that Star Wars deems inappropriate, then, or Lucasfilm, I should say, deems inappropriate, then there's a good chance they could clamp down on fan use of these characters. Lucasfilm has been very open to the fans in the past 15, 20 years, as far as using these licenses, and, you know, from the 501st to the Mando Mercs to the Rebel Legion, right on into fan films and that sort of thing. Lucasfilm's been very, very lenient, right down to sometimes music usage and that sort of thing. To podcast, all kinds of stuff. Lucasfilm has been hugely lenient to the fans. And this sort of thing could cause them to start to clamp down on that a little bit more. Because a lot of times it's like, well, if no one can play right, none of us will. It's that teacher mentality. Well, if you can't all behave, then you're all going to be punished.
Yep.
So, that's a concern for me out of this situation. The other concern, Teresa, is the response that you have gotten personally in some ways.
Yeah, and, you know, I also want to note that part of my response to all of this focuses around what I've been fighting for since I joined fandom, which is acceptance and respect and the, I guess, representation, maybe, of women in sci-fi and the fantasy world, and being treated as equals and having strong female roles, maybe not necessarily like the primary character, but having strong characters. And I've said before, strong characters don't have to be, you know, the hero girl. A strong character can be somebody who, you know, is maybe struggling and maybe you know, it's just having something about that. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
Something about the character that makes them compelling.
Right.
And we've been fighting really hard for that, and I really feel like we've been making some headway. And we've had a lot of help from people like Ashley Eckstein, Vanessa Marshall even, and, you know, some of my fellow fangirls, Trisha Barr.
Sorry.
Trisha Barr, Bethany Blanton, Sarah Wolosky, Bonnie Burton, Concetta Parker, Amy Ratcliffe, Jonah Marie Macias. Like, I could go on about all of these girls that are doing phenomenal things for fandom, and we've been fighting this fight really hard. And then I get that Amy Schumer is a comedian, and I get that a lot of comedians like to do stuff like this, but the thing is that she's pushing us backwards by doing this, and it feels like a slap in the face because she's saying, oh, look, you know, I can play into the sexual Star Wars fantasies of males.
Yeah, Ross Geller.
Yeah, Ross.
From Friends.
And, you know, the thing is, like, I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is it being so open and public and that kind of gross.
Right.
You know? It's one thing if you're on Friends and you're in, and it's in the middle of a story. That was in the middle of a story. You know, there was a point to what right. Jennifer Aniston did.
Right.
It wasn't just to be like, oh, look, you know, I can do this. And I don't even really want to reference the stuff that she's doing. Not because it makes me uncomfortable, just because I know that there might be younger people listening.
Of course.
So I don't want to do that. But it just, I wanted to stand up for girls.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like, I don't know why I felt I should take it upon myself.
Well, because I think it comes down to it was shocking. It was shocking that Disney and Lucasfilm would let something like this go on. And your idea of what was happening was contrary to everything we've been told about what Lucasfilm is doing for the protection of these characters. Look, we're not bashing Amy Schumer. We're not saying she's not funny. I watched her on Fallon the other night. She is
absolutely, was great on Fallon.
She's hilarious.
With
she's,
that emotional, what it was.
Yes. She's,
their emotional conversation.
Their emotional interview. She is funny. I think she is beautiful. I think that if she called me up right now and said, hey, I'd like to go out with you, I'd be like, all right, we can make that happen, Amy Schumer. Because I respect her as a comedian, everything else on that respect. Now, I'm not into all of her type of humor and everything, but that's taste and opinion. That's neither here nor there. The concern here is what Lucasfilm was allowing to be done with these characters, and it was just clarifying. It was you really gave them a platform to come out and say, again, Lucasfilm and Disney didn't approve, participate in, or condone the inappropriate use of our characters in this manner. They considered inappropriate use, and it's not. Look, there are some things in here in this photo shoot. There were 6 pictures completely, I believe. 3 of them are kind of not that big a deal. Like, one's her riding in a car with, like, a Chewie that looks not so much like Chewie, the 3PO. And there's a little Yoda up in the front. And she's dressed like Princess Leia in the white gown with the buns in her hair and everything. Looks like they're looking for somewhere with her phone. The other's her up on a bar, you know, around a bunch of other people, just kind of hanging out at a bar type setting.
Coyote Ugly style.
Yeah, Coyote Ugly style. But she's still in that, she's in that Leia gown. There's a little split up the leg that's a little higher. But, you know, we've seen that before in some
Halloween
fan films
costume.
And that sort of thing. Yeah. And then the other's her in a kick line with some stormtroopers. And the skirt's gone. But again, it's nothing that's like, oh my gosh, that's terrible. But then there's the cover itself, there's one shot with her in R2, and there's a shot with her in a lightsaber. They're just, it's ridiculous and inappropriate. And the fanboy in me says, why is that lightsaber not cutting her face off?
I actually thought that too.
I did too, yeah.
I'm like, that's not correct. She should be dead.
So here's what I want to say, because I think that the listeners of the Star Wars Report are all very civil, very nice people, and wouldn't tweet some of the things that have been tweeted to you.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Well, look, I'm getting there right now. you've been included in some tweets that where you've been told you people and at Disney have to lighten up. I think it's great satire. How is this satire? What is what is satirical about it? Okay. This is from someone. He says, Amy Schumer angers nerds and aggravates Disney / Lucasfilm with her GQ Star Wars shoot. Good. She's doing everything right. Smiley face. Hashtag humor bypass. I don't know what all that means. I don't know. Is that our job? Is that the role of people to aggravate nerds and to anger nerds and aggravate Disney? Number one, it's like you're at Count. This was at Count Geekula on Twitter. Don't be pointing the finger, bro. Don't be pointing the finger.
I have a couple. To explain what's happened. I have been getting nothing but notifications of either retweets or favorites of tweets that have gone out, either by me, by Star Wars, or by people coming down.
Right.
Coming down on me for saying what I said for 2 days. 2 days. Anytime I look at my phone and I look at my Twitter app, I've got over 20 notifications.
2 days.
And my followers have gone up, so that's cool. But I've been getting a few things like this, and I'm not going to name the Twitter accounts because I refuse to say who they were. But let's see. I got one that said, oh, get over it. Go to church and say a Hail Mary. You'll be okay. I see nothing wrong with these photos. Just worry about yourself.
Wow.
Let's
worry about yourself.
Jeez.
Just jeez. Worry about yourself. Gosh.
You know, there's been a lot of comments that have me tagged in them that are maybe more directed at Star Wars that have been calling out the prequels, have been calling out the brother-sister kiss from Star Wars, have been calling out Slave Leia. But there's been a lot of stuff of people saying you need to lighten up, you must be a prude. Let's see. You know, just things like that, and things that are not necessarily really fun to read. My favorite one.
Things that are not necessarily fun to read. Well, no one wants to be trashed when they get on their Twitter. No one who has worked for years now to try to provide positivity and encouragement out in the geek community, who has done incredible things for fangirls everywhere, who's taken part in all kinds of just awesome fandom. No one wants to get online and suddenly hear a bunch of haters, which I guarantee I would be willing to bet are all men who are giving me a bad name coming down on you. No one wants that, Teresa.
That's pretty much been all guys.
Yeah, stupid guys. You make... You idiots make us all look bad. Don't y'all realize what you're doing?
This one guy goes, see, this was what I was worried about when Disney bought the franchise. No sense of humor. Hashtag laughter. See, and I don't understand none of these. That doesn't make sense. It's not because Disney bought Star Wars that now they're, you know, like, they don't have a sense of humor. They have a sense of humor, but they don't want their characters used in sexually explicit ways.
Right. None of these pictures do I look at and say, well, that's funny, except for the kick line picture. I'm like, well, that's kind of cute. But all these pictures are, this is the humor of Amy Schumer. I didn't mean to rhyme there, but I did. And to me, there's just, it's not really funny. It's just, okay, so this is the type of humor this woman has. You know, and that's fine. That's her humor. Good for her. You know, I have seen her, again, saw her on Fallon. She was hilarious. I don't think she's unfunny. I just think these pictures are unfunny. And people who say, well, they're funny, they're comedy. Well, tell me what's funny about them. You know?
Yeah, I don't understand.
You know, I get what the jokes are supposed to be, but, you know, it's just not. That doesn't mean that it's funny. And humor is very subjective. You know what's funny to some
exactly.
people? And that's okay. Again, Teresa's not talking about the humor of the piece. She's talking about the use of these characters in this way.
And I respect the fact that there's a lot of people out there that think that, you know, these pictures are funny and that it's satire. Dink, dink. I don't think it's satire.
I don't think those people know what satire is.
I mean, we should probably look up the definition of satire.
Oh, I know what satire is.
But like, this one person says, oh no, these fictional characters are being degraded by humor. Mm. I don't really see how much that's funny. I'm trying to find the one that I think is hilarious. But I will say this. I want to give a shout out to at CP3O, T-H-R-I-O.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was the first person to reply to that, where he said that, thank you for tweeting this. This is the lamest thing I've seen in a long time. Well, he's been getting included in a lot of this, too. Right. So it's kind of cool because I have a buddy.
new friend.
Yeah. We're in the, and I've actually met him in person and talked to him about his daughter. So I wanted to officially say I wanted to give a shout out to at CP3O and his daughter, who I will remain nameless per his request, for having my back in the first place and being my new internet Twitter bestie.
I love that his Twitter handle makes everyone say C3PO the wrong way.
Yeah. but I have this one tweet and I can't find it that I got that has been the best. They said, you must really be fun at parties.
And I can say she is.
I actually am.
Yeah.
So thank you for the compliment.
She is fun at parties. If you don't believe us, just ask Bethany Blanton when she gets back.
Yeah.
Just find out how much fun. Teresa's fun, apparently, I wasn't there for this, but I heard that Teresa's fun is so fun that other people get involved in the fun and start popping and locking it at Dragon Con.
They do. So. This is true. But I also, I want to note that I have had a lot of people that have come out and supported me and have had my back, and have agreed with me. And I'd like to quote a couple here.
Please do.
This is actually from Brian Cameron at Jedi_Alba. He's a part of the Jedi News team, and so it's kind of, it's cool when it's your friends, but it'd be cooler if it was random people. But this one, I just like what he said. He said, not at all offended by the GQ content, but loving at Star Wars and wanting to protect it is something I'll always respect at Ice Cold Penguin for. So if you have the, this is two tweets. This, you were, I knew you were going to say, that's more than 140 characters.
I wasn't, but I was thinking, wow, this is going, this man's amazing.
So if you have the audacity to attack at Ice Cold Penguin for expressing her concerns, go home and rethink your life. Star Wars fandom is one.
I think a lot of these people need to go home and rethink their lives. I mean, just, I mean, straight up. To me, you weren't angered or outraged.
Mm-mm.
You weren't going on a rant. You said it was distasteful. Shame on you if this is the case. They tweet back, it's not the case. We didn't approve it. Case closed for you.
Case closed for
it's,
me.
It's out there. Everyone else is like, oh my God, we have Amy Schumer half naked on in a magazine and you're mad about it. It's satire. It's not satire. Satire is the use of humor or exaggeration or even sarcasm or irony to point out, to comment on contemporary politics or topical issues. This doesn't really do that for me. I don't see where is the topical issue the protection of Lucasfilm characters. Is that what she's commenting on? I can use these guys however I want to. Is that what she's saying? Please enlighten me. Do so. You know what? Don't enlighten me. Get in touch with Riley and Bethany. Let them hash all this out.
Yeah.
We can come on this show and say whatever we want. We're going to be gone.
Right.
So.
It's now, just, it's just really, it's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, here's a good one. At MCNMG, all yes. caps,
mm-hmm.
and she says, I think it's a she from her profile picture, says, well, I have tons, I it's worded weird, but basically she's saying, I have a huge sense of humor, but I must admit, I didn't like it.
Boom.
So, you know, so there are people out there that are backing me up and backing up at CP3O. And the coolest thing about this, and it's, you have to think about it to think it's cool, but I'm on the news in Ireland and in Scotland and in England and in the United States.
It's a big deal. It's prompting me to get more involved in the social media aspect of what I do.
And I can tell you this, my followers since about 2 days ago, I think I had 2,400 and maybe 80 followers. Wow. I have 2,511 now.
Man.
I'm not sure if those are people following me waiting for me to say something else like this so they bash me for
it. You know they are.
Or maybe these are people that found me and were like, way to go, girl, and they're following me. I'm going to choose to go with that one. It's probably not the case, but I'm going to choose to believe that.
I think you should choose to make it whatever positive situation you can make it, because I, you know, look, you stood up not against what was being done, but you stood up for Star Wars, and people coming down on you don't get it. And I agree with you. They're obviously not fans. Now, before we go, because we've been at it now for close to an hour. I don't know how long the Star Wars report's supposed to roll on. But before we go, Teresa, springboarding off of this controversy, as they say in the UK, and moving to another one. Here we were up in the Philadelphia area, and there was a news report that went out. Let's listen to a little bit of that.
Down the toy aisle, had a local dad doing a double take. He is furious over a popular Star Wars action figure sold in stores in our area. He says, you know what? Not appropriate for young children. So is it harmless movie memorabilia or too racy for youngsters? Take a look. You decide.
Well, we sent our Chris O'Connell to talk with the dad and do some digging. And Chris, you say this toll is not just being...
Now, wait a minute. First of all, I want to point out this lady was trying to throw to a video, and the anchorman's like, no, wait a minute. We're going to actually talk to the man who was there. We're going to talk to our newsman who was out there. We're not throwing to a video right now, you moron.
Sold in our area.
Now, it is being sold all over the country, and this is it. It's a toy that's all over the country in stores and online. Some parents say this action figure for kids 4 and above is way too inappropriate for kids of any age. That's Fred Hill's daughters at the Target store in Deptford shopping for their birthday gifts.
It's pretty inappropriate.
The single dad was shocked to see this on the toy aisle shelf.
Now, what they've got is a Black Series 6-inch Slave Leia. It was the only figure on the toy aisle there for the Star Wars. Hasbro, just a note to you. You need to up your distribution methods. I don't know what your problem is.
No joke. Seriously, can you get some more stuff on the pegs at my store? Because I'm really, really, really tired of seeing. This is everywhere. There's either Black Series 6-inch Slave Leia, mm-hmm. or there's like Black Series Stormtrooper, mm-hmm. or there's a Rebels figure.
Yeah, a Rebels figure. Usually, what I've seen most of is like the Emperor and Yoda on a Rebels card.
Oh, yeah, I see that one.
That's what I see most of.
I saw the Wookiees the other day.
Yeah, the Wookiees are out there a little bit, but not much. Not much. Here's the thing, Hasbro, if these figures are being bought up so quickly that we can't find them, obviously there's a demand for them. Just saying. We shouldn't have to go to eBay and pay $50 for a Chopper. We shouldn't have to go to eBay and pay $20 for a Sabine and a Stormtrooper. We shouldn't have a hard time finding a Hera. We should not have a hard time finding any of these characters of this show that is on Disney XD that could really, you know, look, you could really benefit from the cross promotion that you're getting there. But instead, you're sitting on your hands with your thumbs up your nose, not doing anything. And suddenly, because the only figure on this particular toy aisle is a Slave Leia, some prude of a dad who's never seen Star Wars in his life walks by and is like, well, this is inappropriate.
Yoda.
I wasn't trying to do Yoda, but it just kind of happened. It went there, didn't it? My indignant father. This is inappropriate. I can't believe this. It's on store shelves here. And then the newscasters are like, it's not just sold here, guys. It's everywhere.
The newscasters sound like this. The newscasters sound like this. It's a toy sold all over the country. I have no idea what it is, but it's this thing,
guys,
that's there.
Apparently,
and I've never looked at it before because I only shop in Target's towels.
Apparently, guys, this is a Star Wars figure?
I don't know what it is. Do you guys know what this is?
This is, well, I'll tell you right
now. Where did it come from?
I'll tell you right now. It came from Target. It's a Star Wars figure. The Slave Leia Star Wars figure.
It's a Slave Leia?
Slave Leia.
Why?
And it's not just sold in our area. It's sold everywhere. Everywhere. I mean, call in The View for crying out loud.
This thing should not be on store shelves anywhere. I don't care what you say.
Look, I'm Baba Wawa. This is The View. I can't
this
believe
is terrible.
It's okay.
It is in poor taste.
Now, Teresa,
okay,
you and I are both collectors of the Star Wars merchandise.
Si, senor.
Various and sundry merchandise of Star Wars. In fact, Teresa, you almost got a tweet from me or a text from me earlier this week when you tweeted out, "Hey guys, here are the new Hallmark ornaments." And I almost texted you and said, "Yeah, just go ahead and pick those up for me." Even though I've never bought a Star Wars Hallmark I've never bought one of these ornaments in my life. And I thought, well, maybe I'll have a tree this year and start my Star Wars tree. And because
should I have one?
Because I was so, you got me so pumped up. Like, guys, look at this and look at this. And here's the special hard to find one. It's limited quantity. And I'm like, oh, I need that. It's limited quantity. Pick me one up. You know, that kind of thing. But I was framed. And I did not.
Zeb looks fabulous.
I'm
He's
looking
the
at
best
him.
One.
I'm looking at it right
so
now.
Good.
It looks great. And I was just like, I'll refrain. I don't need it. I can stay away from it. But we have both collected Star Wars memorabilia over the years. I don't know if you're aware. I've been collecting since I was a wee tot, and by wee tot, I mean like out of the womb.
I've been collecting since I was a wee tot too.
Mm-hmm. And so. Back in the day,
I'm still a wee tot.
Back in the day, first of all, I've made this point other places. Back in the day, Kenner put out not only the Princess Leia from A New Hope, they did a Hoth version of Leia, they did a Bespin version of Leia, they did an indoor version of Leia back in the vintage lines.
Not indoor, like she's in indoor, like. Indoor the planet.
Right.
Just
like her,
clarifying.
Like the, they called it indoor fatigues. It was her, it wasn't her gown that she was wearing or her little dress that she was wearing in the Ewok village. It was the helmet, the poncho, you know, the ready for battle Leia.
Can I just say her indoor hair though, when she's in Bright Tree Village, I love the braids. So
agreed. Agreed. So there were those four versions of Leia. I feel like there may have been a fifth one back in the day, but I can't go there right now and really rack my brains. Anyhow, the point is this. Outside of Luke, who had five or six different versions, outside of Luke, Leia had the most versions of herself made. Han only had the Star Wars, the Bespin, the Hoth, and an indoor version of him made as well. He had four. Unless you count the carbon freezing Han, there was
Can
five.
I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
This has nothing to do with what we're talking about. So when they say Bespin,
mm-hmm.
I get confused.
Okay.
Because I know it's Cloud City.
Right.
So couldn't you say Cloud City, Leia?
They could, but, you know, Lando says Bespin all the time.
Well,
so.
I know, but like, why? Like, I thought it was Cloud City.
I don't know why Kenner chose to go that route.
But, like, what is a Bespin?
Bespin is the planet upon which Cloud City, over which Cloud City hovers.
And gets
the Tabana gas from.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay.
So what I'm coming to as a point is back in the day, Kenner never made the Slave Leia outfit, right?
Mm-hmm.
As you move into the more modern version of the action figures in the mid to late 90s, it wasn't until Kenner and Hasbro just started to put them out there, man. I mean, they were doing figures they'd done before and figures they'd never done before, and finally they did the Slave Leia figure on a green card. Everyone remembers that. Not the best looking figure in the world, but it was one of those things that helped you if you were like a diorama builder or something, really kind of complete your diorama. I'm sorry, they also did a Boosh Leia back in the day in her Boosh disguise. Kenner did as well. So five. I knew there was five, and I just couldn't think of the fifth one. down the way, down the line now, and there's been, since that initial Kenner release, I want to say there's been maybe two or three other Slave Leia releases in the action figure form. One of which is actually from the deleted scene, the sandstorm scene, where she's like all covered up in a robe and goggles and everything, but underneath is her slave outfit, because she didn't have time to change between the sand skiff and the Millennium Falcon.
What girl would?
Right. I say all that to say this, that this is one of only four or five Slave Leia action figures made to date, all right? The Black Series is still kind of nascent in what Hasbro's been doing with it. Each wave only has like four figures in it. This was an early one. It was, to me, I scratched my head and said, why'd they do Slave Leia first? But it really came down to they knew this was more of a collector-oriented line, and because they've done so few Slave Leia versions, that they said, well, this will be a good way to go. Had to be their thought process, right? Mm-hmm. So, look. There it is. It's a collector-style figure. It's made, these Black Series figures are made more with collectors in mind than anybody, hence the high price point. I have one. I'll be honest with you, my problem with it is not its inappropriateness. My problem with it is the face mold looks not that great.
Like a dude?
Oh, it just doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. If you remember the very first Leia that came out in the mid-90s on that orange card, she got dubbed by Steve Sansweet as Monkey Leia. Because her face just, they could not get her face right for some reason. They also had, for the longest time, a hard time getting Mark Hamill's face right on these figures. Having said that, that's the most offensive thing about this to me. It's not gratuitous. It's not out there to be, it's not out there to fill some guy's fantasy, though some nerds and geeks may look at it and drool. I don't know. I just know that for me, it's like, oh, I have to have this to complete the whole set.
Right. And so for me, like, as a girl on this, I don't have a problem with the Slave Leia outfit. And the reason I do not is because when it first appears in Return of the Jedi, it is there in context of a story to tell a story. Mm-hmm. It is a plot point thing.
Right.
You know, she's not Ula dancing all around. She's not all over Jabba, you know, like, oh, I'm your slave. You know, she's not doing any of that. She's very obviously, you know, ticked off that she has to sit here like this and that she has to be, you know, like, put out there this way, like any self-respecting senator would do, and be like, this is just below me. You know?
Well, we've been reading some tweets tonight. Let me read Carrie Fisher's tweets on this subject.
Oh, please do.
Slave Leia dolls are causing outrage for some parents on Fox TV. And I'm thinking, if folks are outraged now, shouldn't I have been outraged 40 years ago? Maybe I was. and then she goes on to say that chain only, quote, enslaved, unquote, me until I could use the frabjous thing. I think she meant fabulous thing. To kill that drooling, swollen, super-tongued slug and whirl him off into infinity.
Good job. See, and that was the point behind it. I mean, the figure by itself is taken way out of context. You know, if you just have the figure, let's just say we just saw the figure.
Right.
We haven't seen the movies. You know, why we haven't, we don't know. There's no reason we shouldn't have seen Star Wars at this point in our life.
I mean, okay?
But let's just pretend.
It's
if you
Star
saw
Wars.
It, you'd be like, what? All right.
Yeah.
That's weird. Kind of like how we are about the Amy Schumer.
Right.
Okay. Right.
But here's the thing. Here's the difference. This is, as you said, something that's absolutely in context.
Yep.
In the film. It's not gratuitous. You know, it's not something that's just there for no reason. It's there because, you know, Jabba has enslaved her. Jabba has captured her. It's looking dark for our rebel friends. Han and Chewie are in the dank dungeon. Leia has been kept. Yeah, Han's blind. C-3PO and R2-D2 now belong to Jabba, apparently. And, you know,
things are bad.
And to add insult to injury, because he just fed his last slave dancing girl to the Rancor, Jabba takes this prisoner and puts her in this scantily clad outfit, this metal bikini, and says, Now you're here for my pleasure, and I'm going to watch you, and I'm going to look at you because I enjoy looking at pretty things. And the chain around her neck, as she says, she used to win her own freedom.
Yep.
You know, from Jabba. She killed Jabba. You want to talk about a strong female character.
Exactly. Like, she epitomizes a strong female character because she takes it upon herself. She didn't have to do that. He can't move. You know, like, if she could have gotten away some other way, she didn't have to kill him, you know, but she did. She had a point to make.
You know, yeah. And look, this is Princess freaking Leia. She knew what was going on. She knew what was coming. She knew that Luke was on his way. And this was all part of the plan. Luke had this thing. He knew Jabba wasn't going to let go of all this stuff. And he knew the ultimate plan would be for him to get there. He had R2 smuggle the lightsaber in, for crying out loud. And he knew he would get there and start to cause havoc, and that's when they would all get away. Well, Leia's right there. I mean, Leia said, yeah, I'll go along with this. Look at Leia. I'm sorry, Teresa, and correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like Leia is a strong female character in these movies. People think she gets a little too gushy, I think, in Empire, but, you know, as soon as she watches her man get frozen in carbonite, what's she doing? She's blasting the heck out of people. And not in some, I'm an enraged, vengeful woman way. It's like, we got to get out of here so we can get him rescued. She goes to rescue the man, for crying out loud, in Empire and in Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Han is the damsel. All of a sudden, this super cool guy that everyone loves, he's the damsel in distress. You know? And so, in the context of the film, you're right. It's not gratuitous. It's nothing. And I just want to say that I think that people who are outraged by this action figure are idiots. Because they don't... Because, obviously, they've had their head stuck in the sand for some 32 years. Since the release of Return of the Jedi.
Here's the other thing. Okay, if they have a problem with this and they're like, I wouldn't get this for my kid. Okay, here's the thing. If I ever have kids... All right, my daughter will have a Slave Leia action figure. And the point of her having that is so that she can act out Return of the Jedi, which is the best dang movie in all of the 6 Star Wars films. So she has to have it, number one. Number two, on a more serious note, if I give her a Slave Leia, I'm also going to give her all the other Leias. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, like, this is Leia. All of this is Leia.
Yeah. Well, you made a great point off air that in the 6-inch line, at least, they haven't done anything but this particular Leia.
Which is so bleh.
And I agree with you. I think with all the stuff they're doing with soft goods, clothing, and everything on these figures, I would love a New Hope Leia that looked great, had the buns rocking and everything, had a hood you could put up or take down, however you wanted it, you know.
I want an indoor Leia.
You know, an indoor Leia. Now, you know that they've done in the 3 3/4-inch scale, they've got one that's on the pegs right now.
I want a 6-inch one, well, and I want it to come with an Ewok.
Well, so you want her? You want indoor Leia from the Ewok village?
Yeah. Well, okay. No, I want the indoor Leia from when she meets Wicket. So okay. I want her with the helmet and the
braided hair in the back.
The scrubs.
Mm-hmm.
Fatigues.
It's unfortunate. I kind of know Leia a lot of times by hairstyles.
I'm talking about you when she has the braids on her up on her head,
right?
Not
I'm with
the
you.
Braids that have the like leather. Woven into
sure,
it.
I'm with you. I know what you're talking about. Really quickly, because we do need to close out because people are tired of listening to the Star Wars Report with Steve and Teresa. They're all missing Riley and Bethany already. They're wondering where Mark Herleman is. They're wondering why they haven't heard an R2-D2 noise at all. I want to ask you this before we go out of here. Favorite Leia hairstyle?
Ooh. The Bright Tree Village, when her hair's down and long and she looks just really pretty and it's mm-hmm. braided with the little, like the leather in it and mm-hmm. stuff.
I love her hair on Cloud City. Mm. Absolutely love it. The little loops, little, you know, it's braided together and it's looped up around. She is just adorable to me in that.
Okay, can I ask you another question?
Yes.
Favorite Padme hairstyle?
Oh, Lord. the stuff with the red... dangly things on I like it when she just lets it flow like on the balcony scene in Revenge of the Sith.
Okay, mine comes from Revenge of the Sith, but when she is at the Senate meeting when she says, so this is how Liberty dies,
with
and she has it up mm-hmm. but it's not like all crazy like she usually does.
Right. It's almost a bun.
Yeah, and it's just really elegant and pretty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Favorite Luke outfit?
Favorite Luke? Oh, Black Jedi.
Yes, ma'am. You better believe it. You better believe it.
Who else can we do?
Yeah, who else has different looks throughout the films that we could talk
about?
Well,
no, Han kind of stays the same.
Han kind of stays the same. The coloration's a little bit different here and there.
Yeah.
Lando does the, he's got like...
He's got the cape, yeah, and he's
got the cape, then he's got Han's clothes at the very end of Empire, and then in Jedi, he's in that tan, he's got the cape again, it's a tan cape with that tan general's outfit.
You know what? Favorite hair?
Mm-hmm.
Of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, wow.
In the prequels.
I don't like the Padawan look.
You don't like Padawan?
Mm-mm.
Ewan McGregor?
No, not so much. I like the Episode 3 look. The Episode 2 look is just a little too flowy for me.
Yeah, he's got some hair.
Yeah, it's a little too much. It's a little too lion's mane-y to me. But in episode three, I think they got it down.
I like episode 3. You know, he's finally matured enough. He's a haircut going on,
right?
You know, and it looks very, very mature.
Still rocking the beard,
but also very attractive.
Indeed, agreed. Definitely agreed to that. So,
ooh, Ventress.
You know what? I like Ventress after she's kind of done away with, you know, gotten out. The last time we see her.
The last time we see her. Yeah. With, like, the kind of purple-blue sort of, like, pants and all that stuff. Yeah, me too.
This is all stuff we can talk about because we will be with you on the next episode.
Oh, yeah,
we will. The Star Wars Report, everybody.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Really quickly... just to plug our own stuff, Teresa, you're on Star Wars Bookworms right here on the Star Wars Report.
I am. I'm a part of Star Wars Bookworms. It's your go-to books and comics podcast. You can find us just on starwarsreport.com/StarWarsBookworms. Also at SW Bookworms on Twitter and on Facebook. It's just Star Wars Bookworms.
And if you want to sling some insults Teresa's way, please do so at Steve Glosson, because I will shut you down on the Twitter. Teresa, though, is at Ice Cold Penguin.
Yep, on Twitter, Instagram, everything. Star Wars Card Trader, come trade me some cards.
I hear you. And if you are on the Star Wars Card Trader app, I am now, at the time of this recording, about 2 cards behind in the 77, the quest for the 77. Yeah, I've dried up. I can't pull one to save my life, so... If you want to help a brother out, I'm at SteveG125 on the Star Wars Card Trader app. So, Teresa, tell them about Disney Vault Talk.
Yeah, if you guys like Disney movies, any kind of Disney movies, you can come over to Disney Vault Talk at Disney Vault Talk on Twitter. And over on the Gulliverse, what are we, geekoutpodcast.com?
Geekoutpodcast.com, that's right.
Yeah, and then just look for Disney Vault Talk. It is a show where we are going through all of the Disney films. We're doing the animated ones in order first. We rewatch them and reflect on how we felt about them as children and how we feel about them as adults and what kind of things they bring to mind. It's actually a really, really fun show. And we're doing The Great Mouse Detective next. So we're all the way up into the 80s.
And I would say you can skip the Fox and the Hound episode.
Yeah, you can. So, unless you want a good emotional roller coaster of a ride.
And, of course, Geek Out Loud can also be found over at geekoutpodcast.com, as well as all the shows in what we call the Goaliverse. If you're into music, we've got Rock Out Loud. If you're into professional wrestling, we've got Mark Out Loud. If you're into Disney, we've got the Disney Vault Talk, along with our discussion and commentary about Star Wars Rebels. While it's airing, we call that Rebel Yell. You can find that over at geekoutpodcast.com. And that's Teresa and I, we try to have some fun guests along to talk each episode of Star Wars Rebels. Well, hey, I will say until the next time, which will be the next time, I'm Steve.
And I'm Teresa. Wait,
no, we don't do that here.
Okay.
No,
I'm going to say, I got it.
Okay.
Go again.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Teresa. May the Force
be with you.
Yeah, good job.
Okay, I think they say many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
Oh, that's right. Okay, we can do this again. Right. Okay, one more time.
All right, I'm Steve.
And I'm Teresa. Many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
That's right. All right, we'll see you guys next time. Star Wars Report, StarWarsReport.com. Woo! I guarantee you we're fired.